Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Yud Amud Bet by the two dots. The Mishnah said, Ube Amru Dayashata. The Mishnah says, where do we say that it's Dayashata? Biriya Rishona. That's only on the first sighting. Aval Bishniya, already on the second sighting, she is Mitama Me'et Le'et. And then we say on this, Amarav Akuhu. That statement of the Mishnah is going on all four of the women that were mentioned in the Mishnah. That was Rabbi Eliezer's statement at the beginning of the Mishnah. There are four women that are Dayan Shatan, which is Betula, Me'uberet, Minika, Uzkena. And Rav says that this statement at the end of the Mishnah qualifies all four of those women. Ushmuel Amar, Loshna, Ele Betula, Uzkena. That's only true by the case of the Betula, which is an Isha that has yet to see Dam, and she's in a time period where we wouldn't expect her to see Dam. Zekena is a woman who's reached the age where it'd be plausible that she's hitting menopause. Aval me'uberet minika, dayan kol yume iburan, dayan kol yume minikatan. Shmuel says, on the other hand, that when it comes to me'uberet minika, those are persistent states. And therefore, even if they see dam during the time that they're me'uberet, we don't change the fact that she's me'uberet. And therefore, the next sighting of dam still has the same status, which is dayashata. You don't go back to being a standard woman until after you cross over being me'uberet, or after you cross over being a minika. V'chein amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, akulhu. So Rish Lakish, like Rav says, it goes on all of them, the four women. Rabbi Yochanan amar, and Rabbi Yochanan, similar to Shmuel, says, lo shanu ala betula v'zkeina. Ava me'uberet u'minika, dayan kol yume iburan, dayan kol menikodan. Then it's sufficient all the days of their pregnancy, all the days of their nursing, that any time they have a sighting there, we assume they are misuleket damim. And therefore, even if they have one sighting, then a second sighting, the second sighting is as if it's a first sighting, because we expect them to be misuleket damim. Kitanae, that machloket is similar to a machloket tanim that we have. Me'uberet, u'minika, sheyu, shofot dam. If you have a pregnant woman or a nursing woman that had flowing blood, Rashi over here says, shofalt lav dafka, doesn't necessarily mean they have to have a heavy flow of dam. Dayan ko yume iburan, v'dayan ko yume minikutan. So in their case, dayan shatan, the entirety of their pregnancy, and dayan shatan ko yume minikutan, divri Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir has the same position, interestingly enough, as Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon omrim, lo amru dayan shatan, ela biri'ya rishona. That's only on the first sighting, aval b'shniya, mitama me'et le'et, umibigdiya b'kida. On the second sighting, then we would say that it is governed by the rules of the Mishnah, which is that dayan shatan only applies to the first sighting, but the second sighting she becomes like a standard woman. So what's interesting over here is that when we have a machloket Rav and Shmuel, b'isure, halacha kirav, even though the other two texts that are brought here would favor saying the halacha is the other way around. Which is that you have Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, generally the halacha would be like Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan's position is that in line with Shmuel. And here we have a braita that is a machloket Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We would paskin like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir. Nevertheless, we paskin like Rabbi Meir here because of Rav, where Rav says it goes al kuhu, it goes on all the women, and when we have Rav and Shmuel, aloch kirav, bi isure. So now the Gemara continues, imrata rishona bonus, if she saw in the first sighting because of some exogenous variable, then in the second sighting, it's as if she never saw the first one, and then again, it's daya shata. Amarabhuna, kafsa virata, kafsa virata, kafsa virata, three times she jumps, and then she has a sighting. She jumps, she has a sighting, jumps, she has a sighting. Tosafot points out that in general, within the world of Vestot and the world of Nida, we hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel or the Mishnayot like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, where you require three times in order to establish a chazaka. Not like what we saw yesterday, that Rabbi has the position that after two times you can establish a chazaka. But according to Rabbi, obviously you'd only need two times, not three times, to establish a chazaka over here. Then Kabbalah Veset. Then she's established a pattern of sightings, and this will be her fixed type of sighting. Lamai, what is the sightings that she's having here that you've been kuvea for? Ilei mali yamim, if you say it's because of the days, meaning that every 30 days she jumps and she has a sighting. So you tell me now that every 30 days she has now has a veset. How kol yomad lo kofitz lo chazai? Problem is that when she doesn't jump, she doesn't see it. So if she doesn't jump and doesn't see it, then that's obviously not that the days are bikoveh the vesta. There's something connected to the kfitzot. Ella, it must be that you establish a veset likfitzot. According to Rashi, that means that the kfitzot alone, you can establish a veset irrespective of the number of days. Just jumping itself can create a veset. Tosafot disagrees with Rashi's reading of Rav Huna here, and he says that what it means, Ella likfitzot, means Ella lo likfitzot levakudayu, but also likfitzot. And that's yamim vikfitzot. That's how it reads the Ella likfitzot. Rashi reads it as simply you can establish a chazaka for just jumping. You have three times that you jumped, and each time it causes a flow of dam, then on the fourth time, that would also be koveya veset when you jump. Irrespective of the day of the week or the time intervals, according to Rashi, according to Tosafot, you need both yamim and kfitzot. Vatanya, kol shetikvena machmat ones, afilu kamet peyamim lo kavala veset. How can you claim that kfitzot are a determining factor? We have a braita that says anything that's koveya machmat, some sort of, again, exogenous variable, like jumping, afilu kamet peyamim lo kavala veset. Even if it happens numerous times, you don't establish a veset based on that. My lav lo kava veset klau. Sounds like from this that you can't establish any pattern whatsoever. When it says lo, lo kava veset liyamim lichudayu ulikvitzot lichudayu. You can't establish a veset for days alone, and you can't establish a veset for jumping alone. Aval, kavala veset liyamim ulikvitzot. What you can establish a veset for is a joint veset, which is both for the days and the kvitzot, the combination of the two of them allows you then to create a veset. It's pretty clear that you can't establish a veset for days alone because it only happens when she jumps. So Rav Ashi could go. A situation like this. The kafitz bechad b'shabbat v'chazai. She jumped on a Sunday and she had a sighting. The kafitz bechad b'shabbat jumps on a Sunday and v'chazai and has a sighting. U'b'shabbat kafza v'lo chazai. And then she jumps on a Shabbat, doesn't have a sighting. Ulechad b'Shabbat chazai below kfitza. And then that Sunday, right afterwards, she has a sighting without any jumping. Ma'u detema. I would have thought igalei milto lemafreya. Retroactively, this proves the yomahu the kagarim below kfitza. And it's the day that's causing it, not the jumping. Because the fact is, they only sighted on Sundays. She never had a sighting besides a Sunday. And in the last situation, the sighting was not connected to a kvitza, and the kvitza was the day before. Kamash Balan, the kvitza namidet mol garmo, that we say that the jumping on Shabbat contributed to the sighting on Sunday. Hadalo chazai, shum kati lo matas bisman kvitza. The reason that it didn't work, or it didn't happen on the time that she jumped is because she was yet to reach the point in time where the jump has that impact. You have here a situation in which we correlate the physical activity of the woman with the sighting. So, in conclusion, it seems like that what we're saying here is that you can establish a chazaka for yamim and kfitzot together, but neither independently. In terms of the yamim, the Gemara says it's obvious that if you have yamim and there's some exogenous variable or physical activity that's causing it, that you cannot establish a chazaka just for yamim. Because what are you doing with the fact that there's another factor that's clearly causing the veset? If that's the case, yamim alone is not enough. Kfitzot by themselves is now a question mark. According to the Balei Tosafot, it's clear that kfitzot alone cannot cause a veset. Because he says, even when the Gemara switched in Rav Huna's position to Ella the kfitzot, didn't mean kfitzot alone, it meant kfitzot with yamim. And so the Braita just continues that position, which is kfitzot and yamim. And so according to the Balei Tosafot, it's clear that physical activity alone cannot establish a veset, and therefore you have to have kfitzot and yamim. According to Rashi, the havamina of the Gemara was, when it said Ella l'Rav Huna, was that jumping alone or physical activity alone could cause the problem. But then the Gemara challenges Rav Huna from the Braita. The question is now, once they challenged him from the Braita, does that mean that Rav Huna's position or view with regards to kfitzot alone has changed? it seems, and according to most, that Rashi would also agree at this point, that the Gemara has established that you can't have it with Kfitzot alone, but rather you need Kfitzot and Yamim together, and therefore Rashi in the end will agree with the Balei HaTosafot that Kfitzot alone are not sufficient, although there are a few Rishonim that believe that Rashi's position still persists even to the Maskana of the Gemara. The Gemara is just explaining the Braita, it's not telling you that the other position is wrong. It's just saying the Braita is establishing a position of Kfitzot and Yamim, but it's true that you could have Kfitzot alone that were enough. And now, what the Braita taught us is that the Kfitzot have impact, and even though it seems like the Kfitzot are not the impactful issue, because when she jumped on the third time, she did not jump on a Sunday, and she didn't have a sighting when she jumped, and she did have a sighting on the day, you would have thought that the days are the ones that are koveya, and since the days are koveya, the kvitzot are irrelevant. The Braita comes to teach you that a kvitza the day before is the equivalent of a kvitza on the day itself. And the reason you didn't cite it when you jumped on Shabbat is because that's not when you normally see it. You need the combination of the kvitza and the days, but a kvitza beforehand works to help you on the days itself. But everyone points out that that was only if it's a day before. If it was 2 days before you jumped, and then you had a sighting on Sunday, nobody would think that the two are correlated. You need some sort of adjacency, juxtaposition of the activity and the sighting for it to be considered that it is considered a factor in her veset. That's one version. Lishna Achrina, another version is, Amramuna, Kapsavrata, 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 Kabbalah Veset Yamim, Velodik Fitzot. If she has 3 times that she jumped and had a sighting, then she's Koveya Veset for Yamim, not for Kfitzot, which seems very strange. How could it be that the Kfitzot are not a factor over here? So, Eichidami, what's the situation of Ravashi? The Kafitz Bechad B'Shabbat B'Chazai. She jumped on a Sunday, had a sighting. Kafitz Bechad B'Shabbat B'Chazai. Jumped on a Sunday and had a sighting. Here you can see they take it out of the Girsa, and the Hagot Agra speaks to that. He says, the Rambam, Shemefereish to Paliga Lishnakama. According to the Rambam, who says this Lishna Patra argues on the Lishna Kama, it's because she jumped on Shabbat, and it's an identical case. And therefore, he says the case is where she also jumped on Shabbat, and then had a sighting on Sunday, and from the Rambam, it got reintroduced into the Gemara, but that's not the Girsa that should be there, and therefore, they take it out of the Girsa over here. Ulechad b'Shabbat, chazai below kfitza. Then on the third instance, she had a sighting without jumping. That demonstrates that it's the day and not the kfitzot. If you leave out the language, then this is actually different than the Lishna Kama. The true Lishonot don't even have to argue. Because in the Lishna Kama, she jumped on the Shabbat and then had the sighting on Sunday. So we correlate the two and say that it was as if she jumped on the Sunday. In the latter case, she never jumped on the third time and she still had a sighting. That clearly tells you that it's the Yamim and not the kfitzot. Next Mishnah. Even though they said that you don't have to worry about limafreya tuma, as Rashi points out, that is isha sheyesh la veset, with a woman who has a fixed cycle, as well as the other 4 women in the previous Mishnah, all those women that are dayashata, they still tzricha liot bodeket. They still have to check. Check means Rashi b'chol yom shachrit varit kishar nashim. They are subject to the Tekanat Chachamim to check in the morning and the evening every day. The assumption being that the morning and evening is a check for Taharot. So even though you have a din of Dayashata, you're still subject to the Tekanat Chachamim to check in the morning and the evening. Even though you don't have retroactive Tuma, we still want to know when she is going to come to Tmeah prospectively and when she does become a Nida. Chutz, the exception of people who need to check are a Nida, Yeshevet Eldam Toar. A nida, once she's already been deemed a nida, for the next 7 days, it's basically irrelevant. Whether she cites dam or doesn't cite dam, she is tmeah. So my nafkamina to check. You're not going to gain anything from that because we know she's tmeah, irrespective of what you find. A yoshevet adam toar is a woman who's given birth after the first 7 days by a male, after the first 14 days by a female. She converts into a tfulat ayom aroch. She goes to the mikveh. And any dam she sees for a male next 33 days, or for a female next 66 days, is dam toar. That dam toar, again, we don't care whether you see dam or you don't see dam, because the dam itself is tahor. That means if you check and you find dam, doesn't benefit us, doesn't negate anything. Why check? Doesn't pay to check because it doesn't make any difference. So those two women do not need to do checks because the checks don't provide us any additional information. Umishameshet be'edim, also the requirement or takanat chachamim that a woman, when she has intercourse, before she does that she has a check, and after she does that, she does a check. That is true by all women. Chutz miyoshevet adam toar, with the exception again of a woman who is not tamei no matter what she sees, because any dam that's coming out is considered to be dam toar. And so therefore there's no point in checking, because if she finds dam, that doesn't prevent her from having the ability to have biyah with her husband. Ubetula shidamea tihorim. Or a woman who's had biyah for the first time, she lost her betulim in the biyah. That loss of betulim leaves a residual, as the Gemara calls it, makah. There's a wound, there's an injury from the causing of the release of the hymen in the woman. And that makah has residual impact, which is that if it continues to bleed, that dam is dam toar and not dam tmeya. So even if you find dam, we're not going to classify it as dam tmeya because we're going to assume it came from the betulim. We have something to be toluya it on. Upamayim tzricha liot bodeket shachrit uben hashmashot. And you have to check twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. Ubishashi overet l'shameshet beita, and the instances where she wants to have biyah with her husband. Yiteril talehen kohanot, the female kohanim have an additional requirement, which is bishashen ochlot b'truma. When they go to eat truma, they also need to check, because they can't eat truma b'truma. And so it's important for her to check to make sure she's not tmeya before she begins to eat truma. Rav Yehuda Omer, af b'shatam ratan melechol b'truma. And as we saw earlier, back on Daf Vav, we saw the position of Rav Yehuda, that even after they eat truma, we still require them to do a bedikah. There we had a machloket as to what the reason for that was, but the reason is to protect the remaining tarot that she has yet to have eaten. So those are then protected. Or is it to, if she saw it miyad afterwards, require her to be soreif, the tarot that are left over, because the sighting was so immediately after the time that she had eaten the truma that we would consider it as if it happened simultaneously, and therefore she would then burn the remaining tarot, because it's clear they became tmeim when she was engaged with those tarot, engaged with that truma. Now, the Gemara says, chutz mina nida, debetoch mien yudita, lo bai bedika. The exception to the rules that we said over here, that women don't need to check twice a day, one of those exceptions was a nida, because a nida doesn't need checking. Hanicha l'Rabbi Shimon Lakish, that works well according to Reish Lakish, damar isha kovat laveset betoch yimei zivata, that a woman can establish a cycle, or a fixed interval cycle, during yimei ziva. Yimei ziva, min haTorah, you have 7 days of tumat yidnida. At the end of the seventh day, once you've completed 7 days, you go to the mikveh, and then you begin the 11 days of yimei ziva. And again, we said before that the days have a cheskat tahara. We assume that she is Torah during those days. Now, if she has a sighting during those days, Reish Lakish says you can establish a cycle. You can establish the fact that that is a sighting for a veset. And so yimei ziva, she needs to check, because even though she has a cheskat tahara, if she does have a sighting of dam, it will have implications in terms of her establishing a veset. But any shalah kovela veset betoch yimei nidata. On the other hand, during her regular menstrual cycle, the 7 days of yimei nida, there you can't establish a cycle. Therefore, shapir, our Mishnah makes a lot of sense, because the Mishnah is saying you don't need to check when you're in nida, because checking when you're in nida makes no difference. In terms of tuman dara, she's tmeya for the 7 days, irrespective. And the only reason to know whether she's having a sighting of dam would be to establish some sort of pattern or cycle. But if you can't establish it during yimei nida, no need to do a check. El Rabbi Yochanan, damar isha kovat laveset betoch yimei nida. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says you can establish a cycle during the yimei nida, tivdok, then she should have to check even when she's in nida, dilma kava laveset. Because maybe she can establish a cycle. There'll be a pattern of behavior here in terms of her menstrual cycle. And if she checks during the time that she's in nida, they could still establish some sort of pattern, even though it wasn't the moment that she started to see the dam. But if she sees dam on a day during those 7 days, it's impactful in terms of the veset. So then why in our Mishnah does it say you don't have to check? Amalecha Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan says, Ki amina ano. When I say that you may need die, you can establish a veset. Heka de chazite mi mayan satum. That's only true when she comes from a standing stop. Do I say that it's impactful during the yimei nida? Well, chazite mi mayan patuach. She sees it from an open flow. Lo amre. We don't say such a thing. Rashi over here brings two possibilities as to what that means. First possibility is that if she has a sighting on Rosh Chodesh, and then a sighting on Rosh Chodesh, and then on the Esrim V'chamisha, and then she has a sighting on the 25th, Vereish Yarcha, and then Rosh Chodesh. So there, she has Rosh Chodesh, 25th, and Rosh Chodesh. Question is, can she establish a cycle now for Rosh Chodesh? Because she's had a sighting on the 25th the third time. That makes it sound like there's no pattern here. So what Rabbi Yochanan says over there, that third time, when she saw it both on the 25th and on the Rosh Chodesh, that establishes a Rosh Chodesh cycle. And the reason she saw on the 25th was, the way the Gemara terms it, nitosefet dam. She had extra dam that month, and therefore she needed to get rid of that extra dam, so she started a little early. But that doesn't change the fact that she had a sighting on Rosh Chodesh, and you're able to establish a chazakah of three times. Mishom, the tchilat ha-veset chukzak mayan satum. Because the beginning of the veset came from a mayan satum. The first two times she had sightings, they were done from a standing stop. She had no sighting, and all of a sudden then she had a sighting beginning on Rosh Chodesh. So the first two times it began on Chodesh. V'gamriya achrona, even the last sighting, chashvina like a mayan satum. We classify it as a standing stop. The reason she started early was just she had extra dam that month and came out. So she had a sighting. Could have been that she had a sighting from Rosh Chodesh, from the 25th straight through to the 5th. She had sighting all the way through. Doesn't necessarily have to be a separate sighting according to this. It's the fact that she already established twice before Rosh Chodesh. And in this cycle, she continues to have sighting through Rosh Chodesh, even though it started early. That's enough to establish a cycle. A Mayan Patuach would be a case where even in the first two sightings, she began earlier, and then we don't say that the common denominator between all three of these sightings was Rosh Chodesh. Basically that she started one time this way, one time that way, one time this way, and they all happened to cross over Rosh Chodesh. That doesn't establish a cycle for Rosh Chodesh. That's Rashi's first Lishna. Then he brings a Lishna Achrina, which is Mayan Satum, Shratayom, Upaska, V'chazra V'rata. This is what you were asking. It was a case where she had a sighting on day 25th, stopped, and then had another sighting on Rosh Chodesh. So she had a brevi or b'chamishi l'nidata. She had another sighting somewhere in the 7 days. Mayan Patuach is a case where she had a constant flow from the first day of the sighting all the way through the 5th day of the sighting. That's a case where it would not count, and therefore the sighting later on would not help. So in our case over here, like we gave before, where you had it on Rosh Chodesh, then the 25th leading into Rosh Chodesh, according to this version, only if she stopped between the 25th and Rosh Chodesh would it be that Rosh Chodesh establishes a Kviat Veset. If she had a flow of sightings all the way from 25th through Rosh Chodesh, then we would not consider it to be a Kviat Veset, because that's from Mayan Patuach. It wasn't a standing stop from which she said a sighting. And then Rabbi Yochanan would just explain our Mishnah as being a case of Mayan Patuach in order not to be a problem. He says, Varishon Yashar Be'inai. He says, I think the first explanation is a better explanation of what is meant here, not the second explanation that Rashi brings, and that Mayan Patuach and Satum are speaking about the first two sightings where she's trying to establish the pattern, and that the third one doesn't matter because she already established a pattern as long as she just has it a little early and it goes over the day that she's expecting. Then it works. Whereas if she didn't have that in the first two times, it just was a flow that crossed over a particular day for the first two times, that does not establish a cycle because you need it to be a tchilat nida in the first two instances. The Gemara continues, Vayushevet adam tohar. A woman who has adam tohar because she's already after leida, and then she doesn't need to do any checks. Kasaka dakka mivakeshet eshev adam tohar. This is a woman who is transitioning from her dam tamei to dam tahor. She's going from the seventh day of a Zachar into the eighth day, or she's going from the 14th day into the 15th day by Nekeva. And saying here in the Mishnah, you don't have to do any check. The Gemara says, here, Anicha the Rav, that works well going to Rav Damar, Mayan Echadu, Batorata Mato, Batorata Arato. That it's a single flow. The woman's discharging of Dam, in the case of Leida, it's all coming from the same place. Just the Torah tells you that in those days, 7 days for Zachar, 40 days for Nekeva, it's Tamei. And then after that point, it is Tahor. Nothing needs to change between the first 7 days and the eighth day, and the first 14 days, and subsequent to that for the female, because the Torah designated, or Zerat HaKatubu, that the Dam at this point is Tamei, but at this point is Tahor, even though it's all from the same place and all the same flow. So Shafir, our Mishnah, makes a lot of sense according to Rav, because she is trying to transition from those days of Tumah to days of Tahara, and the Mishnah says she doesn't even have to do a check. She doesn't have to figure it out, because it happens automatically when you cross over that threshold day. On the other hand, Levi Damar Shnei Mayanotim, according to Levi, who says that there are actually two different sources of Dam. There's Dam Tamei, and then when you stop the flow of Dam Tamei, it switches to Dam Tahor. For Levi, you actually have to have evidence of a cessation of the flow in order to transition from the Dam Tamei to the Dam Tahor. Because if you continue to have a flow of Dam during the period of time that you're Tamei into the period of time Tahor, the Mayan hasn't switched yet. And since it hasn't switched, you can't consider the Dam to be Tahor. So according to Levi, the Mishnah is difficult, Tivto, because you should check, Dilma Kati Lo Posok, Hahu Mayan Tamei. Because maybe the Mayan that's Tamei never stopped. He needs to demonstrate that there was a gap or an intermission between the flows in order to switch, quote unquote, Mayanot, in order for the flow to now be coming from the Mayan HaTahor rather than the Mayan HaTameh. And so for Levi, why in the Mishnah do we not require checking even when she moves into her days of Tahara in order to establish that there was a stop of the Mayan HaTameh and the beginning of the Mayan HaTahor? Samarcha Levi Hamani, he'll say that the authorship of this Mishnah is Beit Shammai, Damrei Mayan Echadu, that David Shammai holds that it's a Mayan Echad. I disagree with that. B'stam lan Tana k'Beit Shammai. Wait a minute. Since when does a Tana make the position of Beit Shammai into a Stam Mishnah? As we know, general halacha is Stam Mishnah. Why would you ever make Beit Shammai a Stam Mishnah when the halacha is not like Beit Shammai? So he says that's not a problem because this is a Stam. It's a stam here, but later on, another Mishnah is going to tell us this machloki between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Therefore, it meets the standard of stam, v'achakach machloket. Because of the principle called stam, v'achakach machloket, and halacha k'stam, since the stam, v'achakach machloket, halacha is not like the stam, then we don't mind making it like Beit Shammai, because halacha is not going to be like the stam Mishnah anyway. A stam Mishnah that has the machloket brought afterwards, that's not an indication that the halacha is like the Stam Mishnah. If the halacha was like the Stam Mishnah, the Tana would not bring the machloket afterwards. He would have brought it beforehand. Had he brought it beforehand and then was so tame, then he's giving evidence that he believes that that's the Psak. But he gives you a Stam Mishnah and then later on says that's all the machloket. That means that he's not necessarily saying the halacha is like this Mishnah. And therefore, over here, the fact that it's a Stam Mishnah k'Beit Shammai is not implausible. Vivai Tema, mi katani mi vakeshet leshev. Doesn't say in the Mishnah that she's attempting to move or transition from her days of Tumah to days of Tahara. Mishnah says, Yoshevet Ktani. She's actually in her days of Tahara. Yoshevet Maila Memra. She's already in her days of Tahara. Then, of course, why would you need to do a check? What's the reason for a check? Maudatema Tibdok. She should check the Dilma Kavalah Veset. Because maybe you can establish a pattern or cycle. Kamash Malan, the Mayan Tor, the Mayan Tameh. Lo kava, because the Mayan, which is the Dam that is Tahor, is not the same Mayan that produces the Dam that is Tamei. So even if you were able to establish a cycle, a pattern of cyclicality within the days of Dam Tahor, that still wouldn't have any impact once she is now back to being a regular woman, meaning after 40 days for Zachar, 80 days for Nekeva, it won't have any impact on the fact that she now has sightings at a certain pattern because it's a different Mayan. The Mayan of the Dam Tahor is one Mayan. The Mayan of the Dam Tamei is another one. So just because you establish a cycle by the Dam Tahor doesn't mean it has implications for the Dam Tamei. The Gemara says about that, Anicha the Levi, Damar Shnei Mayanotim. That all makes sense if you think that after she finishes her Yimei Tahara, she's switching Mayanot, and therefore whatever pattern you established by Dam Toar has no impact by Dam Tamei. Hello, the Rav, Damar Mayan Echadu. According to Rav, who says that the source of the Dam is the same, it's Gzeret HaKatuv, that here it's Tamei, then it's Tahor, and then afterwards it turns back to being Tamei. Then Tivdok, you should have to check, Dilma Kavala Veset, because maybe you can establish a Veset during the Mei Toar. And if you establish a Veset during the Mei Toar, that'll have implications for post Mei Toar, where then the sightings you would expect to happen on a certain day based on the cyclicality that was already established. Now, Rashi points out that depending on whether we hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if you're like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you have 66 days Tahara by the Nikeva, and then you would have to divide that into three. And supposedly she had sightings every 22 days or maybe every 20 days. Then you could establish a pattern of 20-day cycles. Or, according to Rabbi, you only need two cycles. It's going to be 30-day cycles, two 30-day cycles that you establish during the Zman HaTohar. So now it's a problem for Rav. Why don't we do a check to see if she's establishing a Veset? Afilo achi mimei tara, they made tum'ah lo kava. So what Rav says is that we don't establish a pattern of behavior. Even though the Mayan is the same, the Yimei Tahara are different than the Yimei Tumah. And a pattern during the Yimei Tahara is not successful at creating a pattern for the Yimei Tumah. The Marshal here claims that's only true when the entire pattern was established while it was the Yimei Tahara. But you can establish the beginnings of a process that will only become a chazoka after the Dam HaTohar, meaning the fact that there exists a framework or a cycle can be established. You can't just create the Cheskat Tumah that comes with it until you have a sighting afterwards. But he claims that if you had two sightings during the Yimei Tahara and the third sighting during Yimei Tumah that follows that pattern, you can establish a cycle based on that. And that would be classified as a Chazakah or a Kviyut Veset, because the cycle is only problematic when it only happened during the Yimei Tahara. That's where you can't parlay it into a cycle during the Yimei Tumah. But over here, where the cycle was an overlap between the Yimei Tahara and the Yimei Tumah, in that case, you can establish a cycle. But the Chazon Ish says that it has to be everything established outside the context of Dam Toar. And therefore, even if you had a sighting afterwards, that would not be sufficient. You need all three sightings to be afterwards. The Bavali does well point out, even though Rav could have answered here, that simply our Mishnah is a case of Mivakeshet. Like we saw previously in the first Lashon that we brought here, he doesn't have to reconcile with this because he can just say our Mishnah is talking about a case of Mivakeshet when she was transitioning from Tumah to Tahara. And then he won't have any problem. Nevertheless, the Bavali would say the Gemara wants Rav to fit in, even in the other explanation, because generally the Halacha is going to be like Rav, be Isurei. And therefore, the Gemara goes out of its way, even in the other instance, to explain how it can work according to Rav. In the time of the Gonim, they changed all of this, so this is really not any longer relevant, which is that during the Yimei Toar, we assume that the woman was Yoledet Bezov, and therefore she requires Shiva Nikiim in order to be Torah from a Leida, and therefore there's no such thing or no concept of his Dam Tohar anymore based on that Takana of the Gonim. And there is a machlok darishonim as to how to apply this din that we see by Dam Toar to Dam Tamei to a meineket and a meuberet. Whether you can establish a cycle while you are a meineket and meuberet, which is the view of the Ramban, whereas the Rashba, the Ritva, the Balei Tosafot, and the Shulchan Aruch all suggest that you cannot establish a kviyut veset during those periods of time of pregnancy and nursing. She has to have tashmish with the cloths, one check before, one check afterwards. It's not autumn. We have a mishnah later on in the Masechta. Tinoket shaloi gi hazmana lirot. A young girl who has yet to reach the point when we'd expect her to be menstruating. V'niseit, and she got married. V'shamayom reimnotin la arba leilot. We give her 4 nights, which is after biyah, we assume the injury caused by the biyah, which removed her bitulim, leaves a residual wound in the woman, and therefore you can expect for up to 4 days to have sightings of dam that are associated with the dam tulim, nothing to do with dam nida. It's until the wound is healed. There's no time frame on this. There's no time limit on this. Until the wound from the removal of the bitulim is healed, then you can assume that any dam that comes is coming because of the bitulim, which is dam tahor, and not because of her menstrual cycle. Again, this is a girl who is musulekat damim. We don't expect her to menstruate, and therefore any dam that you're seeing is going to be assigned to the bitulim according to Beit Hillel, as long as there's still a wound that is there. Amar Rav Gidol Mar Shmuel, lo shanu, elo shupaska machmat tashmish, that she didn't stop sighting every time she had biyah. Virata shalom machmat tashmish. And then she had separate sightings outside of that. Of a paska machmat tashmish, if she stops having sightings when she's having intercourse, virata, and then she has a sighting, tmeah. She is tmeah, even according to Beit Hillel. So the first qualification of Rav Gidol Mar Shmuel is the following. The identification, according to Beit Hillel, that the wound is still there is shown by the fact that every time she has tashmish, then she has a sighting of dam. So that indicates that there must be a wound in there that is still open, because every time they engage in tashmish, there's a sighting of dam. That evidence means that the dam we expect her to see is dam betulim. And therefore, at night, she has biyah, and she sees dam. Then in the morning, she has a sighting of dam, nothing to do with tashmish. We're going to assume that that sighting of dam in the morning is still connected to the wound from the bitulim, because at night we had evidence of the fact that the tashmish resulted in dam, which means that there's still some sort of problem internally that's causing dam to be released. On the other hand, if she has intercourse, and at a certain point when she has intercourse, she no longer has any sighting of dam, that's an indication that the wound has healed. Because, obviously, tashmish is a lot of pressure and friction in the area. And if, in that situation, the wound doesn't show any signs of bleeding, then it's clear that the wound has healed. And then if she has a setting of dam, that dam is clearly the beginning of her menstrual cycle. And then she would be tmeah. So that's the first thing that Rav Gidol Mar Shmuel says, which is that the tashmish is the evidence of whether the wound is healed or not healed. And that means that according to Beit Hillel, as long as every time you have tashmish, there's dam, that's an indication that the wound is still alive, and therefore that is something that can go on for a long duration. On the other hand, avar laila achat below tashmish, virata, that's all true if all of her sightings are after a tashmish. She has tashmish at night. The next day she has a sighting not connected to tashmish. We correlate the two and say that since there was dam during the tashmish, and every time she has tashmish, there's dam, the wound is still there. Therefore, the sighting the next morning are not problematic because we assume they're connected to the wound of the betulim. On the other hand, if they already passed one night without tashmish, she hasn't had any tashmish, virata, and then she has a sighting the next day, tmeah, because then we assume that there's no correlation. Because the fact that she didn't have tashmish the night before and now she's having a sighting, what's generating the sighting? The sighting generally should be associated with the wound. So you need some abrasion, you need something to cause the wound to bleed. And in this instance, tashmish is that factor. But if you eliminate that factor and you're still having sightings of dam, then that's pretty clear that the dam that's flowing out of there is not connected to the wound, it's connected to her menstrual cycle, and therefore she should be tmeah. And then also, even if she had tashmish and saw dam, and then you waited a day, and then a day later she has a sighting of dam, that's exactly this scenario of avar laila achat, where you didn't have tashmish. That sighting on that second day is problematic because we can't correlate it with the tashmish or the wound of the betulim. Another qualification is, nishtanu maret damim shalat me'ah. If the color of the dam that is coming out changes, that's also an indication that we're no longer dealing with the wound, we're dealing with dam of the mekor, dam nida. That is because you would expect the wound would have a certain color of dam, and every time the wound is re-injured, it would continue to have that same color. If the color changes, that's an indication that it's not the same dam that's exiting. It's not the dam of the bitulim that's exiting, it's the dam of the nida that's exiting. And then we would again assume that that is the beginning of a menstrual cycle, not the dam betulim. Meitiv Rabbi Yona. Rabbi Yona says, ubetula she dameha teorim, a betula whose dameha are teorim, amai, why is it that she doesn't have to do any check? You just told me from the Braita that there are certain instances where you could have a problem that would make it that it is dam nidan. And so he's asking, basically, why do we automatically assume that a betula, her damer to orim, and therefore she doesn't need to do any check, tishamesh be'edim. She should have to have intercourse with a check before and a check afterwards. The dilma nishtanu mare damim shelach. Because maybe the dam changed color. And if it changed color, that's an indication that it's no longer dam betulim. So Amar Rava, Rava says, you're asking the question in a vacuum. I'm going to ask the question from a stira internally in the Mishnah. Because Amar Resha, the beginning of our Mishnah says, Chutz min hanidah v'yoshevet adam toar. The two women that are accepted from the din of checking in the morning, checking in the evening, are the women that are a nidah, and someone who has dam toar from a leida. Those are the two people that are accepted from that position, implying aval betula shidamei torim baya bidika, that a woman who is a betula would require a check. So ela kashina hadodi. That makes that the Mishnah itself seemingly has a stira. In the beginning of the Mishnah, the checks in Shachrit and Arvit, we make you do even if you have dam betulim, and even if we're going to assume it's dam betulim. Whereas when it comes to the latter part of the Mishnah, where it says, "Oh, dam betulim or torim," you don't need to do a check before and after Tashmish. So then, how do I reconcile in the Mishnah that in one case I'm forcing checks, in the other case I'm not forcing checks? So the answer is, Kan Shishimsha. In the case where she had Tashmish Mita, Deima Shamash Achran. Because there we can say that the intercourse caused the change in the blood. Kan Shaloshimsha. In the other case is a case where she did not have intercourse. Therefore, we can't blame the change in color on the bia that she had, on the shimush that she had. And therefore, by tarot, the reason we require a check, shachrit and arvit, because that's a case or an instance where she did not have tashmish. And therefore, now we're looking for a change in the dam's color in order to determine whether all the bleeding here is coming from the wound of the betulim, or is it coming from a new menstrual flow. But when it comes to lifnei tashmish, the reason you don't do bedika is because since after tashmish, she won't need to do a bedika, we also don't force her to do a bedika before the tashmish hamita. Afterwards, it's not going to be meaningful because once she has tashmish hamita, we don't worry about any dam that's coming out because we assume it's coming from the wound of the tulim. And even if it changed colors, it doesn't matter because there we will assume that the bia itself, whether it's the friction of the bia, whether it's the shechvat zera from the bia, is causing the altering of the color, and therefore that's not evidence that the dam has changed in that case. So since there's no reason to check after Tashmish Amita, then the Taknat Chachamim falls away. Because if you don't check afterwards, you don't check before as well. And so that's why by Bia, Tashmish Amita, no checking is needed by Dam Tulim. Whereas by Shachrit and Arvit, if there was no Shimush Amita, then you have a requirement for checking because there you might see a change in the dam's color, which would be meaningful in this case to make her into a tmeah. Now, the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a braita that supports this understanding. That's as long as the dam flow has not been stopped because of tashmish, meaning that every time that she has a tashmish, there is a sighting of dam. And the Ramah actually adds on an additional qualification, which is that it has to be that has ke'evim, that has pain associated with it, in order for it to still be classified as being a wound. She has bia without any pain, and then as a setting of dam, we don't attribute it necessarily to the dam bitulim. V'ratash lo machmat tashmish, then if you have sightings that are outside of that context, those are not problematic, because we assume they're connected to the wound of the bitulim. Aval paska machmat tashmish, then when you had tashmish amita, there was no blood. That's an indication that the wound is healed, and therefore you can no longer assign it to the dam tulim. Virata, then if you have a sighting, tmeya, then it's tmeya because you can no longer correlate the sighting of dam to the wound of the tulim. Avar laila achat v'lo tashmish. Again, if there was a night where they did not have tashmish, virata, and then she has a sighting the next day, then she is tmeya because then you can't blame it on the tashmish that that's what's causing the flow of dam. Why is there a flow of dam the next morning? Nothing came to aggravate the wound that would make it that you should be tmeah. Nishtanu mare damim shela tmeah. if the damim change color, then she is considered to be tmeah. Pamayim hitzricha. The mission says that you have to check twice a day, once in shacharit, once in ben hashmashot. Amrav Yehuda Mishmo lo shanu ela letarot. The check that she needs to do is for tarot. Aval lebala muteret. To be together with her husband, she's totally fine. And the Gemara says, pshita. It's pretty straightforward that her mission is talking about for tarot, not for biyah, because it's shacharit tanan. It says in the morning. And the, as Rashi says over here, the Gemara's assumption is that people do not have tashmisha mitah during the day. It's considered to be inappropriate unless you darken the room and make it like as if it is nighttime. But otherwise, shacharit is not the time, or daytime is not usually the time of tashmisha mitah. Given that, then when the Mishnah says you have to do a check shacharit and arvit, it's clearly not correlated with tashmish. The reason you're doing a check is for taharot. Elit mar seifa itmar. It must be that that's qualification of Shmuel was said on the seifa. Ubishashi overet l'shamesh et beita. At the time that she goes to have bi'ah with her husband, she needs to do a check. And what Shmuel is saying is that check has nothing to do with tashmisha mitah. That check has to do with taharot, which is Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, lo shana lo bisha oseket b'taharot. It's only dealing with a woman who is engaged with taharot. The migo de bayi b'dika le taharot, bayi nami b'dika le bala. Since she requires a check for the taharot, we also force her to do a check to have bi'ah with her husband. Aval ein asuka b'taharot. If she's not engaged in tarot, she's not going to have anything to do with tarot. Lo bayi b'dika. She doesn't require a b'dika at all. And that the b'dika is clearly and only associated with tarot. It has nothing to do with her engaging in bi'ah with her husband. It's very interesting because the issue of tuma v'tara with regards to a husband is an issue midoraita. Have bi'ah with a nida is an iser karet midoraita. There, we're telling you don't need to make a check. The fact that tarot becomes tmeim, it makes them tmeim midoraita, but there's no isur karet. And the whole institution of checking is an institution midrabanan, and we're saying that the rabanan is all about the tumata tarot, which is a much lesser form of isur than the isur doraita associated with boel nida. So, Moshe Feinstein in the Igret Moshe explains, difference is the nature of what makes someone a surat or a husband versus what makes the problem for the tarot. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta that a nida is only deemed to be nida if she has a sighting that it comes from a hargosha. She has a sensation that the blood is being released and then she has a sighting of dam. That's when you become a nida deoraita. Absent that hargosha, there's no nida deoraita even though there's a dam flowing. So, the gabei her husband, she's only a surah to her husband in an instance where the dam that she had cited was coming from our gosha, which happens to be something that is today extremely infrequent. And so therefore, we're not going to be choshesh for baala or her having tashmish with her husband because she's not deemed to be a nida midoraita unless she has our gosha. She doesn't have our gosha, she's not a nida doraita. She has argosha, she'll know that she's a nida. We don't have to worry about it. And therefore, if they have tashmish then, even if she has dam there, it's only going to be dam midrabanan or nida midrabanan, and therefore we don't make her check beforehand. On the other hand, by tarot, there are two problems for tarot. One problem for the tarot is the fact that she is a nida. If she's a nida, then she's tmeah, and that causes problems with tarot. There's a second problem for the tarot, which is the dam that comes out of her is tmeah. That's irrespective of whether she's classified as a nida d'oraita or not, that dam is tameh. Since the dam is tameh, it can affect the taharot. Therefore, the Rabbonon made checks for taharot because there's more likelihood that there's something that's tameh there, irrespective of whether she's considered a nida d'oraita or not. So that's why they made checks for taharot, and they didn't make checks for boel, because boel nida d'oraita is only a problem in an instance of argosha, and that's not going to be the case in most instances, and therefore there's no reason to make a check just for tashmish hamita. Now the Gemara says, Maika Mashlan, what did Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel teach us? Tanina, we already have this from a Mishnah. Kol anashim b'cheskat tara lebaleihem. All women have a status of being in a cheskat tara for their husbands. They can assume that their wife is tohora, and there's no reason to believe that you do need to make a check. If we only had the Mishnah, that's only true with a woman who has a fixed cycle. So the husband, when it's not during that point of time, when it's the fixed cycle for her to see, he can assume she's Torah and she doesn't need to do any check. But a woman who doesn't have a fixed cycle, maybe she would require a bidika every time she wanted to have bia. And therefore, Shmuel's addition to this is, even in a woman who does not have a veset, still she doesn't require a bidika for bia. Wait a minute. Isn't our Mishnah speaking about a case where it's a woman with a fixed interval? We just saw that in our Mishnah, where it says, no. Our mission is true of whether you have a fixed cycle or you don't have a fixed cycle. V'haka mashmalon. Then why did it write in the beginning of our Mishnah that we're speaking about a woman that is yeshla veset? It's a case where the woman is a fixed cycle because of the fact the mission says dayashata, that it is sufficient that prospective tuma, no retroactive tuma, which means we're speaking about a woman with a veset kavua. So then why did the Mishnah focus on veset kavua? That is because, even though she has a veset, so even though she has a veset, once we force you to do checks for tara, we also force you to do a check for bala, to be together with her husband. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that even when you know it's a fixed cycle, and she has a good sense of when she's going to see damim, and therefore, why would you have to check for biyah? You can assume that she has a cheska tara, which is not at those times when she normally has her cycle, her period. Given that information, why do you have to do a check before you have biyah and after you have biyah? The Mishnah tells us, once we have an institution for tarot, that institution of tarot carries over to biyah. And so, even though this woman has a fixed veset, she won't be any different than a woman who doesn't have a fixed veset. And we insist that she checks. Since she's checking for tarot, we also make her check for biyah. Now we understand the chiddush of Shmuel vis-a-vis the Mishnah, but the fact is that Shmuel also said this another time. The woman doesn't have a fixed cycle. She cannot have biyah until she does a check. And we established that that statement was only true Be'asuka b'tarot, when she was involved with tarot. We qualified that to say the reason she has to check for the biyah is because she's engaged with tarot. So that implies that she wasn't engaged in tarot, she wouldn't have to do a check for biyah, even though she ain't lefesed kavua. So then now Shmuel's saying the same thing in two different contexts. One was an inference from the other. And the statement was made by one of them, and then we derived the other one from that first statement. The Rashbam and the Baal Tosafot argue about which one is the statement and which one is the inferred outcome. Because it says, Peirush Rashbam, Hach Tehacha Itmar Michlal Ha'id L'Kaman. Rashbam claims that the one we have here, the qualification Shmuel has of our Mishnah, is the one that's the inferred outcome. And the one that's said later on by Shmuel, the one that we're quoting from Daf Yud Bet, that is the original. And then we inferred to our Mishnah that that same should be true here, for our Mishnah, that we should qualify it in the same way. Whereas the Baal Tosafot say that it's just the opposite. The one statement here is the real statement, and the one that's said on Yud Bet Amud Bet is inferred from our statement over here. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a braita that supports this contention of Shmuel in qualifying the Mishnah and expressing the fact that ben sheish levesa, ben shein levesa, once you have forced to do a check for tarot, we force you also to do a check for tashmisha mita, and vice versa. If you don't need a check for tarot, we're not going to force you to do a check for tashmisha mita, because the Braita says, v'men darim murim l'tarot. It's only true when you're dealing with tarot, about the bala muteret. But as far as her husband's concerned, she doesn't need to do a check. Now, as far as the bala muteret, according to Rashi, bedika here is not required at all. That means if you're not a super tarot, you don't need a bedika. Not if you have a veset kavua, not if you have a veset sheino kavua. You don't need a bedika at all. That's the view of Rashi. The Rambam, on the other hand, is the other extreme over here. And he says that even absent the issues of tarot, whether you have a veset kavua, a veset sheino kavua, you need to check every time you have tashmish. The woman and the man have to check after bia. Whereas with regards to before bia, according to the Rambam, you only have to check if it's a veset sheino kavua. Although, He adds that Hatsnuot check even if they have a Vesek Kavua before Tashmish. So that's the other extreme. In between that, you have views in the Rishonim, like the Ben Ochanan and the Rosh, that you only need a check for a woman who has Ein La Veset, or the view of the Rashba, the Shulchan Aruch, that you need to check for the first three times for a woman who has Ein La Veset. And once you establish a Chazakah that it's not a problem, then you don't need to make any checks after that, even for a Veset Sheina Kavua. But Devarim Amurim, when's that true? Shenicha Bechezkat Tara. That's when he left her when she was Tehora. Then he could expect that Chazaka of Tara will remain. If he left her when she was Tmeah, then she has a status of Tmeah until she declares that she is Tehora. That is the requirement of a husband to query of his wife when she comes back from the mikveh, are you Tehora? Because she had a Cheskat Tumah until now, they were separated. That Cheskat Tumah can only be undermined by a direct questioning of the wife to check that she is Tehora. But you see here that the Braita qualifies the requirement of checkings for a Tarot. But for the Bala alone, there's no need for a check. And the second thing that we learned is that the Chazak of the woman maintains her status quo. If you know that she was at Tmeah, you cannot assume that she's Tehora until you check with her and ask her to undermine the Chezkat Tumah and change it into a Chezkat Tahara. Vice versa, if she has a Chezkat Tahara, if you left her or last you knew she was Tahara, then you can assume she's still Tehora now, unless she tells you otherwise. And Tosfot goes on to say that that's not only true by a woman who has Yesh La Veset, even if the woman, she ain't La Veset, still the din is the same, that if she had a Cheskat Tahara, she remains B'Cheskat Tahara, especially if he comes home from a trip and she was B'Cheskat Tahara, and she knows that when he comes home from a trip or from a time away, that he's going to want to engage in Tashmish. And so knowing that, she would have to be then on alert and tell him that she is Tmeah. And if she doesn't, then he can assume that the Cheskat Tahara is still in place. But that all assumes that she's awake and aware. If she's sleeping and then he comes back from the long trip and then he wants to engage with her and he's waking her up, in that case, she may be too mibulbelet in order to tell him that she is Tmeah, and therefore he can't make an assumption with the Isha Shein Leveset that she has a Cheskat Tahara, because the fact that she ain't Leveset means that it could happen at any time that the Chazaka is undermined. Okay, we're going to stop here at the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet.